Hello, and welcome to the Magazine Rack. I'm Jack.
I'm Ty.
And I'm Bill.
We're here to talk about news, game news. But first, stuff. What have y'all been playing?
Ty?
Have you guys ever heard of a mobile game called Onmyoji?
No.
No.
So it's like a mildly popular game in like Asia. Okay. And recently they made a bunch of other versions of it. So there's like Onmyoji Arena, which is like, I think like a battler or something. There's like Onmyoji Auto Chess. They just released a card game yesterday.
Oh.
And I've been messing around on it because my fiance is a big fan of it. And it's actually pretty good. It's very pay to win, which sucks. But otherwise, it reminds me a lot of Y Schwartz.
Okay.
It's like a less complex Y Schwartz that has to do with I'm trying to find a good way to describe it. But basically, you get like four Onmyoji characters, and then your deck is comprised of eight of their cards. And then
cards, I'm assuming.
Yeah. And then every turn you can send one Onmyoji to fight, kind of like Pokemon in that sense.
Sure.
And just back and forth. It's, you know me, I like my mobile card games. I play a bunch of them, or at least I used to. And for a game that my fiance was just like, oh yeah, Onmyoji is, it's not bad. It's but in pure QA fashion, I also broke the game.
I don't know anything about that. Come on, man.
Yeah. But literally, if you do a part of the tutorial out of order, it just crashes the game.
Nice.
Amazing.
Did you send in a bug report?
No, I did not. It didn't give me the option to, and the website is entirely in Chinese.
Perfect. Nice.
But what about you, Jake?
Well, I've been playing the story mode for Ghost of Tsushima, and I finished that.
Oh, nice.
I ended up platinuming it because once I did the final mission, it was like there's three trophies away, and it was like kick a guy off a cliff and play your flute at a grave. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll just
that's cool. Them.
And then the entire time I was playing that final act, I was like, man, I just want to play Sekiro. So after I put that in and just went through the game again. It's so much fun.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, I just beat it earlier this morning.
Nice.
I hope that Elden Ring has like good intuitive combat that Sekiro brought. Like it's a really fun combat system, and it's so different than like the Souls games. I'm hoping Elden Ring has something like that, and it doesn't stick to just the Souls formula.
Yeah, that's fair.
Has some like uniqueness to its combat. Because that'd be great.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. But what is that themed after, like Elden Ring? I don't remember almost at all. Is it like Eldritchy? Is that the point? Say that again?
It's Norse mythology.
Ooh.
Okay. Because I remember I saw like a teaser image for it ages ago, and then when
Been a long time. It was announced like forever ago.
Yeah, when the Game Awards came around, everybody in chat just kept saying like Elden Ring constantly. I'm like, what the hell?
There's this trailer, and it shows a dude hammering something, and as he's hammering, cracks appear on his body, and they keep getting bigger every time he hammers. There's a lady in a suit of armor, and then she attaches a mechanical arm to her shoulder. Hmm. It's going to be based on Norse mythology, but it's going to have some, you know, it's doing its own thing. So it's going to be really
interesting.
Really interesting. Hopefully, and the world building is being done by George R. R. Martin.
Oh, right. That's why everyone was so hyped about it.
Because it's going to take forever.
Yeah. That's right. I forgot that's why everyone was hyped on it was J.R.R. Martin. But yeah, that's probably why it's taking forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He probably has the first page of the script done.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, him and Miyazaki are collaborating, making this crazy world. And Miyazaki already does great, amazing worlds. Mm. So, I'm looking forward to it. We still don't have any news, anything else. Everyone thought I was going to show up at the Game Awards, and it didn't.
We don't have any news, guys. You can go home.
No news.
You can stop listening now.
Yeah.
This is the magazine rack, not the news rack, okay?
There's enough news in the world right now.
It's nonstop. Tabloids.
Yeah, we can talk about the tabloids. Who's Britney something kissing?
Oh, boo.
Yeah. Who's Miyamoto kissing today?
10 sex tips for your partner.
10 things harder than Dark Souls.
Hot or not. would you rather kiss Jake Paul or Logan Paul?
hot or not, here's our favorite 10 lava levels.
Sorry. He's sneaking into Peach's castle?
Oh, goodness. All right. This is what we've devolved to.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
I'm going home. Oh, wait, I am home. Shit.
Anyway, Bill, what have you been playing?
On that note, okay. I haven't been doing too much. I've been focusing on some other stuff recently. I've been doing photography stuff, but I've been playing. I played a little bit of Ghost of Tsushima the other night. Played more in the story mode of that. I didn't play like a ton, but I did get to like one of the next segments and some other stuff. So, you know, progress, which is good for me, I guess. And then I picked up 13 Sentinels. I'm a little past the prologue, but I've been wanting to play that for forever now. So I'm very happy to be able to play that. It's good. It's weird because it's like visual novel, and then it kind of goes into like almost like a Mission Command type thing. Like, you kind of have the overhead view, and you have the Sentinels, which are the robots.
Yeah.
And you like dictate where they're going. So you like, you have like three options: move, command, defend, and repair.
Like X-Com.
Repair. Not exactly. It's very different because like you're on a map. You know, you're in the map of that like area of the city, and so you send your Sentinel there. And or to whatever region it is, and you're supposed to like protect this like vortex thing from like the kaijus that are coming and attacking basically. And there's also like time travel involved, but then there's the other like mode that's like the visual novel parts and stuff.
Interesting.
It's very unique. The story's been pretty solid so far. The thing that's been really pushing me into playing it is I keep hearing like how amazing the story is. It's supposedly one of the best stories of like games from last year. So I've really been wanting to get into it. And so it was on sale for $30 for the holiday sale on PSN. And I had I had enough PlayStation points, like PlayStation rewards points, to get a $10 gift card. So I got that for $20. I'm like, all right, I'll do $20 on that. And then that's about it for games wise. I started playing Jet Set Radio. I'm supposed to do a podcast thing with
awesome.
Rediscover Geek again, and we're going to talk about Jet Set Radio. And that game is so good. I mean, like,
that's amazing.
Outside of like, you know, Tony Hawk, like the old Tony Hawk ones, I haven't played much in terms of like quote unquote sports games.
Yeah.
But that game is so much more. It's really a graffiti game with like some sports mechanics and the best music in any game ever, basically.
Yeah, it's almost like a platformer in a couple of ways. Like, it's very like the movement is so like weird, and once you get used to it, it's very good.
And there's tons of secret stuff. Like, it's so much fun. Right, that episode should be coming out,
but it's not important.
Go ahead, Jack. Sorry, you broke up.
There's a scoring system, but it's not important.
Yeah,
I'm not at all.
To do like the challenges, but like.
Yeah,
doing tricks and stuff is just for swagger, you know.
Exactly. So it's really about like the mechanicals of like moving around and stuff is really what it is. So we've been playing that a bit. You should see that episode with the guys at Rediscover Geek probably in about, I think it's like 3 or 4 weeks, because they do a cycle where it's like, this week we do games, this week we do movies, this week we do TV shows, this week we do anime kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's their rediscovery segment, is that what they call it? Where it's like the last bit is them playing something that they're rediscovering, basically. Yeah. So yeah, that should be coming in like 3 to 4 weeks. You can find that with them. I'll probably post on socials about it, most likely. So
Well, I do have one other thing I've been playing that I neglected to mention. Previously, I mentioned that I was playing Hollow Knight.
Oh, yeah.
And Jack asked about the Path of Pain. And I did the Path of Pain. And the only two words I have for it are easy peasy.
No way.
Oh, it took me a while, don't get me wrong. But like,
it's not as hyped as led to believe.
That was the thing, is like, once I figured out what to do, I was like, oh, okay. And then it was just grinding out for like 5 minutes to figure it out.
That's the hard part.
What's the hard part?
Just the execution, just getting it down, do that perfect run.
Yeah, because a friend of mine, he like really hyped it up. He said that he gave up like 10 minutes in and like all this stuff. And like, I see these people who are like, screw the Path of Pain, it's boring, blah, 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 don't want to torture myself. And then I did it, and I was just like, it's fine. Like, I had more issues with the boss fight at the end than anything else. And
not even a boss fight, it's just like two guys.
Yeah. And like, I still remember the time I did it, like, I literally just panic used a bunch of spells, insta killed one of them, and then I just killed the other.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool, whatever.
I guess I'm done.
Yeah, I guess that's the end of it. But like, the only thing I think I hate more than the Path of Pain, or something that like I think is like just as frustrating, is podcasts that just go into their commercial break.
I hate you so much. I hate you so much.
But the only thing sweeter than seeing that little cutscene, that really sweet little cutscene, is when the commercial break is over and you get to finish up the podcast.
That's the best part.
Easily.
You guys, I can't deal with you guys anymore. I need to go home again.
Yeah, right. You know what we're talking about?
What?
Come on.
What?
Like a normal thing.
Yeah, we got all those things to talk about. Those things? Where are we? Where am I? I've been what? What
Welcome
year?
Back to Recover Geek.
Oh shit! I did not finish the game. Fuck. All right. So I've got a bunch of like little news things today for our news story things that we're doing. First is, I know I'm very excited about it, is Square Enix talking about some new, not even talking about, they trademarked a few new like titles or something today, which was Ever Crisis. There was The First Soldier, and then a Shinra logo in Japan. So we don't know if this is like new games or like compilation things, but it's kind of cool.
Already going wild on the internet.
There's so many theories already, and some of them are really good.
However, it is still just like a copyright.
It could be nothing. Yeah, right? They do it all the time.
As the guy in the industry who always has to rain on the parade, like
no,
usually this doesn't lead to anything.
Yeah.
And like, as someone who's a big kind of fighting games, where event hubs every other week says like they updated their copyright for Darkstalkers, it's like, well, yeah, they have to. It's like, oh, are we getting a new Darkstalkers? It's like, we haven't gotten a new Darkstalkers in 12 years. Oh, wait, no, 20 years. We're not getting one soon. Chill.
Has it really been that long since last Darkstalkers?
Yeah. I think Vampire Savior was, I want to say it was late 90s, early 2000s.
So the last time Darkstalkers characters were in something was in Marvel vs. Capcom?
Yeah, technically they did a re-release of the first and third Darkstalkers games. Oh, and that was, okay. I think, 2014.
I remember that, I think. Yeah, that was hype.
Yeah, that was hype. And that was a lot of fun. But but if you want some examples of things that didn't happen, Darkstalkers was a trademark that was renewed. Nothing came out of it. Pokemon, what was the one? Pokemon Gray was trademarked.
I remember that.
Right when Black and White came out, and then
everyone was like, it's going to be another one, and then we got a sequel. And I'm
Pokemon Z.
Black and White. Dude, Black and White and Black and White 2 are so good.
Yeah.
Like, those were so good. That was, like, peak Pokemon, in my opinion.
Pokemon Z got trademarked. Nothing came out of that. Pokemon Stars got trademarked. Nothing came out of that.
Well, sometimes they do trademarks just for, like, basically protecting that from, like, somebody else taking it and then making something stupid, basically.
Yeah. Or they just want to, you know, they want to have
just in case they change their mind. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think trademarks are, like, outrageously expensive for most companies to do. So
it makes sense. For most companies, no. It's usually just a small fee.
Exactly. My next quick thing is Tales of Festival. It was supposed to happen last year in 2020. Got pushed to March 2021. They're doing a streaming thing, which I think they usually do some sort of streaming thing. But they're also having a premiere streaming option on top of it. They have a new intro for the event. They updated a new illustration. Usually they don't announce much. Concerning it's like the 25th anniversary, we could see some announcement stuff. So that's something to keep an eye on. But they announced they also have like a ton of cast members from like various games, and a bunch of stuff like that. And it's cool. Because they're still doing like all the live performance stuff, I think, but like just secluded.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, you know, it should be neat. I'm probably gonna, I might jump in. It really depends on what time of night it is because it's just Japan time.
Yeah.
Either way, pretty excited about it. You know, I love Tales. There's always a bunch of like covers of the music and like stupid skits and stuff like that that they do and cheap merchandise that's never really worth it, but it's still fun. So that's coming up, which I'm very excited for. Mass Effect Legendary Edition. There was a leak for the release date for the remaster.
Boy.
Very excited for it. It's supposed to be coming March 12th, 2021. It's from a report from Eurogamer through a Singapore retailer called Shopitry and an Indonesian company called GSS Shop. And they both listed March 12th release date. So it seems fairly legitimate because two separate companies from two different countries. You know, we could see a staggered release date. So it could be a different day for here in America, but who knows? Either way, I'm very happy to hear that's coming so soon. I don't know if I have time to play it so soon, but it will be a purchase I will make because I love that game. And I'm very excited to see what they do with the first game because the first game needs a lot of love. Like Mass Effect 3 still looks great. Mass Effect 2 probably needs a little love, but it's fine. Like it's acceptable. Mass Effect 1 is like, it's been a while.
That's the only one. It doesn't look too good nowadays.
No, it does not. I think there's some like pre-order bonuses depending where you pre-order from and stuff. So, because next month we have Strikers, which I'm waiting to get. This month is Scott Pilgrim month for me. So this is the new year. I dub this year the year of Scott Pilgrim for me. because
of the one single release.
Well, there's the game release. I bought a T-shirt, and I'm getting a tattoo of Scott Pilgrim, like a panel from Scott Pilgrim. So for me, this is and I rang in the new year watching the movie, and I'm probably gonna watch it again. And the game releases on my birthday.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna try and play it with a group of friends on my birthday, and then maybe if I do a group thing, I might do like watch Scott Pilgrim movie. I don't know if we would decide what movie we want to do, but like, considering it's my birthday plus New Year's plus all that other stuff, that's enough stuff to be like, hey, it's my year, Scott Pilgrim. I'll have to figure out like other things to do throughout the year, but they're supposed to, like, if theater going starts back up again, we're supposed to be getting the movie in theaters for the 10th anniversary that we didn't get last year. There's the movie vinyl that's coming out. I bought the video game vinyl, even though I think it's probably going to get re-released. That's what it is. So there's the new like collector's edition of the movie vinyl, and a bunch of other stuff. So I think there's enough content to be like, hey, this is my year, Scott Pilgrim. And then I have one last topic to talk about. So CES is going on right now. They're doing it online, digitally. They had released a bunch of release windows for a bunch of games that, you know, people are waiting on. Oh. First one is one that we know about. Hitman 3 is coming January this year. Returnal, which is one that people were excited about. I think I remember looking at it and be like, wait, this is this other game. I think it was Pragmata. And so I got it confused with the two. I'm not super excited about Returnal, but we'll see.
I'm interested in how it goes, because it does, it looks interesting, like a cool action third person.
Yeah, it looks fine. Yeah. That's supposed to be coming March 19th. We got Kena Bridge of Spirits, which should also be in March.
Look forward to that one.
That one looked really cool. That one like surprised me how good that looks.
Fun fact about that is that it's made by the same company that did that one short film for Majora's Mask, where they did a short film with like, I think it's like the beginning with like Skull Kid and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I remember this.
But yeah, that's the only thing they've done.
That's awesome.
And they do this game, and the game looks incredible. It looks like Pixar-esque,
Was it the Sony conference for the PS5? That was one of my like top on my list of like, right. Hey, this looks cool.
For this game,
100%. A game called Solar Ash, which I don't remember hearing about.
Me neither.
You guys remember that?
Doesn't sound familiar.
I'll have to look it up afterwards. That's June 2021. Little Devil Inside. Which we had previously seen on some other release stuff coming in July of this year. Ghostwire Tokyo, which looked really good. I think it's through Bethesda or some other company that I didn't love. So I'm like, kind of like hands up, like, we'll see, but it looks cool. So I'm probably going to check it out. But at the same time,
that was the game that I had. The presentator for it was really funny.
Yeah, I think so.
She was a woman and she was very vocal on Twitter. She was great on Twitter.
Yeah. And then she left the company in the middle of the game development.
She
was a director. So this game looked like it took a completely different twist than what it was originally shown as.
It still looks really cool, though.
Yeah, it still looks neat. Yeah.
I'm still very interested in it.
Also, Solar Ash is it's a game being made by Heart Machine, which is the guys that did Hyperlight Drifter.
So it's cool. We got Stray, which is that cat like navigating around and stuff. Yeah, that's supposed to be. What'd you say?
I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, I'm actually there for that one as well.
A lot of people are. I think it looks cool. We'll see. I haven't seen enough for me to be like, hey, I want this, but I've seen enough to be like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's October as well. We got Ratchet and Clank Drift Apart, which is supposed to be this year. They don't have a release date. It's just 2021, which I generally assume if it just says 2021, it's probably going to be a holiday thing.
That one's going to be so fun.
Rift Apart looks mostly built, so we could see it earlier. It might be like a peak summer season thing or like after E3 or something, you know. Maybe that fill that like August, September slot in between July and October when there's nothing. Horizon Forbidden West, also supposed to be this year. Slotted for January of 22, Project Athia, which is the Square Enix thing.
That's a year out, man. It's almost done. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, we still got to wait a year, but that's still exciting.
I'm surprised it's just that far along in development.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, which is funny because, like, you know, they got revealed the same time as Final Fantasy 16, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that was part of the same presentation. And we still haven't seen.
I think it had one other thing before, but yeah.
And we still haven't seen anything about 16. I'm going to say this, and then tomorrow, like the day after we publish this podcast, they're going to have a huge info dump about it.
Probably. But I would assume we're probably not getting anything until there's another like conference or something. Wasn't there supposed to be something with Square Enix coming up soon? I don't remember, but I thought there was something that they're doing a presentation at or something, and people were expecting that. If not, it's going to be the like spring summer event season.
Yeah.
And last but not least, Pragmata, which was previously slated to go in 2022, is now slated for 2023.
Oof.
So that got a technical delay. So that's unfortunate. It looked interesting.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of stuff still coming really soon.
Yeah, and it wasn't one of those things that was supposed to come out in like 3 months, and then now it's like 2022, like 2022 to 2023. It's like, okay, like I've got other things in the meantime.
Yeah. Well, they also like they put like release ballparks for a lot of stuff that we previously thought like had no idea for, and it's like cool, let's like validate why you bought a PS5 so early. And I'm like, please.
Also, I wanted to just want to throw out God of War is this year, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Quarter three or quarter four. So. Well,
did they mention that in the CS thing?
Not in the CS thing, but I just think I'm just excited for it, so I just want to mention it.
That's a good thing to bring up. That's weird that they didn't include it.
Yeah, I don't know if that was they talked about that. That might
maybe have been
revealed earlier. I just remember someone pointing out that was a thing.
Yeah, because it happened like E3 or whatever. My assumption is that with God of War, if it is coming this year, it'll probably be like holiday or something. And they're far enough along, but they're not far enough along to be like, hey, this is the actual release window. It's like they're still working on it enough where it's not like solid yet.
Right.
Yeah.
That'd be my assumption. So, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine it come before the holidays. Like, mm-hmm. we got the teaser image. So my guess is holiday season, not holiday, event season, like gaming event season, we'll get a lot of details on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see when they have the first like in-game thing.
Yeah. Well, really, I expect that to be the keynote.
Yeah.
I expect like E3 or whatever the first one that they're involved with. Mm-hmm. That to be the first like keynote of those launches, so they can keep featuring it, because it's God of War. I mean, that's like the granddaddy of everything that we talked about from these new ones coming out. Ratchet mm-hmm. and Clank's hype, but they've had a bunch of games in the middle. I think the last God of War ascended, like, got it, God of War ascended. It ascended the like expectations up so high that it kind of makes it like one of the key things. Like, it's even bigger than it was because of the most recent game, which was phenomenal. So mm-hmm. I absolutely loved it. And that's it for me. What do you guys got?
Jack, you want to go?
Yeah. So for those of you who follow the speedrun community, Awesome Games Done Quick just wrapped up yesterday. Yeah, and they raised over $2,750,000.
Nice.
Which is crazy because this was an event that was held online as opposed to in person last year.
Yeah, usually it's in person at MAGFest. I think AGDQ is, at least. Yeah. There's a whole other slew of information about coming out about that stuff, but we'll not get into it here.
yeah, there was a lot of great runs this year. A lot of fun games.
I tuned in for a couple of them, and it's good.
I've been catching up on some of the VODs.
Yeah, the VODs are the way to go. And they're slowly putting them out on YouTube. There's a bunch up there now.
They always do. Yeah, it's just on the Game Gun Quick YouTube. I used to watch I used to have that in the background while I was working on stuff all the time.
Yeah, I'll do that all the time because, you know, it's a lot of time, a lot of games.
Well, sometimes it's like, oh, it's over already.
Right.
My favorite are the, like, glitch speedruns where they, like, run into a wall, end up in an abyss of darkness for, like, 20 minutes, and they come out the other side and they skipped half the game. But they're like, if I don't do this exactly, the game's over. Like, I won't be able to get back yet.
Yeah.
Right. Those are my favorite because it's like, how did you get to here where you can avoid all these death pains without knowing anything? It's all by button presses or whatever. It blows my mind.
Oh yeah. I really like the task block.
I love task. Task is amazing.
Just play every single year.
So yeah, I always watch a bunch of those. Those are the best too. Those are probably my two favorites.
They turn like Super Mario World into like a calculator. Or to like that Pog game where you like hit the blocks with I think they made Pokemon into Tetris once. I don't know how they're doing this.
They do crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And like, shout out to them because it's amazing.
Yeah. Another section I would definitely recommend is the Awful Block, where they just play games. This year they did Zelda the Wand of Gamelon.
I watched that one. That's the one I was watching.
I saw a bit of it.
That section is always fun to watch. Like, you should watch it all, but like, I guess the two highlights are like Zelda, the Wand of Gamelon, and Mr. Bones, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, I love Awful Block because it's like, here are terrible games that I'm really good at. Like, I will destroy it. And you're like, and then they'll be like, oh yeah, this game's great or something. And it's like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm playing Urban Yeti. It's an underappreciated game. It's completely broken, borderline unplayable. It's pretty fun, I guess.
And it's really fun to just watch because, like, and it, like last year's was really great just because I think it is missing a little bit of magic because there's no audience participation.
Yeah.
That's the fun part. I agree.
People like freaking out over the goofy stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
They also don't have the couch anymore.
Yeah. They do have like people speaking in, but like not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more of a one-on-one between the commentator and the speedrunner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more of a live stream than like playing something live.
Yeah.
But it's still like, for what, concerning everything that's going on in the world and stuff, it's a good adjacent that still like catches my attention enough where I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've been doing that over the last year. It's with their other GDQs stuff. So,
yeah,
there was a Celeste run this year where the guy did the seasides with a dance pad.
Oh, God.
So, if you're interested, no. That was really
I'll impressive. Have to watch that. Look, anything with a dash, like, okay, if you have dance pads, you have power gloves, you have, was it the U-Force? The Nintendo thing where it's like, it's almost like a laptop that like reads your hand movements and it's terrible. Anything like that, I'm in. I'm so into it.
Yeah.
one of the bands I like used to like, they're one of my favorite bands and they're still one of my favorite bands. I Fight Dragons. They used to play live and they would program a power glove to play music. And so like they'd like hit buttons on the like controller bit on the thing and like their hand movements would like signal other parts of the music and stuff. It was so cool. They don't do that kind of stuff anymore as much, but they used to do that kind of thing and it was great. But regardless, anytime you bring up stuff like that, I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm in. Mm-hmm. All right.
I think the last two runs I'd recommend would be like Super Mario 64 by Bubsia. He did it blindfolded.
Yeah, I was actually gonna bring that up. He did the 16 star run blindfolded and it's amazing.
And then
I gotta watch that.
There's one. They did Super Mario Brothers 35 Battle Showcase.
Oh, jeez.
Between four guys running Super Mario. And
excellent.
For those who don't know, it's like when you kill an enemy, they make that enemy show up and the other characters run.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're playing with friends or playing online. It's like that Tetris attack that they released or whatever it's called.
Tetris 79.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's screw your friends over. Mario. Right.
And yeah, and it's a really fun watch.
That's awesome. Yeah. I definitely need to watch more of it. I've been all over the place the last couple of days. Is that it for you, Jack?
But yeah. AGDQ, always looking forward to that stuff. Huge fan of speedrunning. So
yeah, it's always fun. We mentioned it before, but I always tune in for exactly three blocks. Task block, worst games block, and then I usually tune in for the Metroid race when they used to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they did it this year.
I don't know.
I usually pay attention to the three that Jack just said, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it was task block, awful block, and what was the other one you said, Jack?
Super Mario?
No.
My brain's
melting.
Mario runs are always fun, though.
Yeah. Basically, I like the task block, I like the awful block, and I like the glitch blocks, basically.
Yeah.
That's what I want to watch.
Yeah, glitch exhibitions are always amazing.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I like seeing stuff where, like, we know this game so well, and we broke it so hard that this is where we're at.
Yeah. Glitch showcases are always really fun. I don't know if they did that this year, but they did it.
I don't think they did.
Years.
Yeah. Either way, yeah, good stuff.
Cool. So my topic for today is late last week, they announced or officially announced, rather revealed, King of Fighters 15. So we got a teaser image of it, like, I want to say almost a year ago now. Like, it was just one of those things that we knew it was coming. We knew they were working on it, whatever.
Didn't know when or anything.
Exactly. And for a little context, King of Fighters 14 came out, I want to say 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
4 or 5 years ago, and it received a little DLC. It wasn't very popular in the FGC. It had like a small dedicated fan base, like all fighting games do.
But there's always that one guy who's like, "Hey, yeah, I want to play Street Fighter Movie Edition."
Yeah, and then you'll find like a crowd of people that'll go around that. Like, I think what was it, the Sailor Moon fighting game has been getting a lot of
amazing.
Excellent. Excellent.
So like King of Fighters 14 never took off. The reason for that is because it was King of Fighters 14. And there's something that we call the King of Fighters curse, in which every even numbered King of Fighters isn't that good, but every odd King of Fighters is very good.
Excellent. That's what you want, right?
Yeah.
And at least it's consistent.
Yes. And as a big fan of King of Fighters 13, I love that game. I sucked at it. I loved it.
That's me with every fighting game, so don't feel too bad.
But it was like really good.
I can be okay at Tekken, so I will fight for that.
Yeah. And 14 gameplay wise was fine, but another issue is that it looked really bad. It was what I think the first or it wasn't the first time, but it was the first modern time where they jumped from sprite animation to 3D. And it was very uncanny valley. It just looked off. The animations looked off. Like, it was very bizarre.
Didn't the first King of Fighters like look kind of funky though, too? Like, to be expected, right?
Kind of. When we entered the 2000s, every fighting game wanted to go 3D for some reason.
Yeah.
That's when we got Street Fighter EX. It was a little bit after we had Street Fighter EX.
I don't remember Street Fighter EX.
Yeah, it was not great. But we had like Street Fighter EX. King of Fighters tried a 3D fighting game. I don't remember which one that was, but it looked terrible. It was absolutely awful.
Nice.
But their first venture back into 3D graphics was King of Fighters 14. And it just looks like, I highly encourage you, the listener, to like look up pictures of it. Like, it looks like an early PS3 game. It's like, yeah, they look okay, but like everything looks flat, everything looks weird. Like, why would I want this? But now that they revealed the new one kind of has the same style as 14, or 15 has this kind of the same style as 14, but it looks a little bit better. It looks like enough better that like
it's a step in the right direction.
Exactly. People are like, okay, this I could vibe with this. Like, this is fine. It's not great. I still would have preferred 2D sprites.
Right.
But it's not bad. And I do like it. Like, it's... Yeah.
Yeah. Quick side tangent. Yesterday, I played a couple minutes of Lost Odyssey.
Uh-huh.
Which was, like, one of the only, like, Xbox JRPGs, basically. It was made by basically some Square Enix, like, names.
Yeah.
And it was its own thing. I only got to play the first like beginning bit of it for the most part, but man, it's always so hard to go back to that era because it's just like, this doesn't look right.
Yeah.
When you were describing the fighting game, I'm like, I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But back then it was so hype because it was like, hey, this is like new. This is cool. Take this shit. It's cool. And it's like, you know, it's off, but it's still cool. Because back then.
Because at the time, you're like, it still doesn't look perfect, but it looks damn good. It looks really good. And now it's just like, they were going in the right direction, but it was not there yet. And it's King of Fighters 14, not there yet.
Right. It's the, we're in the future.
Yeah.
Future. And you're like, oh yeah, but it still kind of sucks. But it's future. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
And then on the gameplay end of it, we didn't see any gameplay really. We saw like some super attacks, and that was about it. Like, so some people are kind of skeptical because of that. It's probably because they just don't have it completely down yet, or the UI is kind of like off, like whatever.
Sure. Did they do a ballpark release date at all?
I think that they're aiming for late 2021.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's enough time for fighting games for the most part.
Yeah, usually when they reveal a fighting game, it's coming out anywhere between like 6 months from then and like a year.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
It was crazy. When I was working Wizard and we were doing the Tekken tour, we had the game like over a full year before it was released.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird when like stuff like that. But we also had like the alpha builds and stuff. Like, we had, you know, obviously pre-public builds.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a big thing about Evo that year. The thing is, Tekken was at Evo for years before it was released.
That was actually the same stuff, like the same like boards and everything that we used. We the company I was working for shipped that to Evo.
Yeah.
So some of the like the product keys and everything else, because like it was that like, hey, no.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, we shipped that stuff to them, which is actually kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
It was hype. I mean, they continued it at like E3 and stuff, I think, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, that was something that it was kind of funny because like these Japanese players had such a leg up on American players in Evo, because America got like one test location for Tekken 7 where they were able to play like an earlier build of it. And Japan had that for like months. Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, it was.
We had people tour followed our tour.
Yeah. And that. And then Japan, they just had it on like every other arcade.
That sounds about right.
And then alongside King of Fighters 15, they announced, this is just
mini aside. My desk is from that tour.
Oh, that's fine.
Sorry, go ahead.
They announced two new characters for Samurai Showdown. It's not a popular fighting game. People aren't really playing it. It has bad net code, which is is why it's not really picking up. I personally think, especially if you want to get into fighting games, it's another like really good one to start on, is it's very slow. It's very like footsie based. It teaches you the fundamentals. It's very fun. I love it. The problem is you cannot play it online because there's so much like lag, like connections aren't great. I can run a really good connection on it and I'll still run into like lacking matches like every other game. Gotcha. And this is a game where like that split second counts. But they did announce two new characters, which is nice. Cham Cham, who's a character from one of the like older ones. And she has a big old boomerang.
Nice.
And
I love that boomerang.
And then the other one for all you CVS2 fans out there is Hibiki Takane from Last Blade.
Hmm.
Which I know you guys aren't big. It's kind of funny because like in my head when she got announced, I was like, yo, Hibiki Takane. And then just hearing you guys just be like, oh, yeah.
Sure.
From like an anime, right?
Okay. No, Last Blade was an old fighting game.
Oh, I'm thinking Ninja Blade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Last Blade, it was a very weird fighting game. I have a friend who's a huge fan of it. Usually
I know it exists. That's about it.
Yeah. Like, the thing is, it's not exactly, like, famous for anything. Like, it doesn't have, like, a Ryu or anything. Like, Hibiki's, like, one of the most popular characters from it.
Gotcha.
But she was a very popular character in CVS2. She was a very competitive character in CVS2. I'm happy to see her in Sam Show. Happy to see Cham Cham back. Kind of excited for King of Fighters 15. I want to be hyped, but I'm like kind of trying to be careful about it. But we'll see.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, but that's about all I got.
It's cool that it's getting all these crossover things, though.
Yeah, SNK has been really like
they've been good about that.
Yeah.
I don't think they've kind of always been pretty good about crossover stuff. They're like, okay, sure, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. Mai has been in tons of games.
Yeah,
they're happy to like lend out Ryo and stuff. I do know there's a King of Fighters mobile game where they had a crossover with WWE, so you could have like Geese Howard fight John Cena.
What? And so,
nuts. I never got into it. I probably should have. They also did a gender bend of like all of their most popular characters.
I remember this. Yeah,
they made what that, was that fighting. Called? That was a fighting game called SNK Heroines. Yeah,
SNK Heroines, right?
Yeah, that game never took off in the competitive scene because it was a Switch exclusive, and Switch didn't have a fight stick at the time.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know that was Switch exclusive. Okay,
yeah, kind of a weird choice.
I saw a little bit about it. I'm like, that's fun.
Yeah, whatever. And then it was like kind of like an RPG fighting game, which isn't something that's like a new idea. Like that's been done before. Whenever it's done, it's always like a little awkward.
They don't know what I want to be exactly.
Yeah, but for the mobile game, they did the crossover or the gender bends. Rumor has it that like at least one gender bend character is going to make their way into 15.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but right now it looks fine. It looks good. My girl Mai's looking good. Like that's all I care about. We just need to wait for my like other characters that I actually play.
Fair. Yeah. Cool. I think that just about does it, right? We didn't have like a big news story. It's been kind of a slow week in terms of like big stuff. We've had a bunch of like little like announcements or cool little things or whatever, but nothing like, yo, this is big. I mean, we don't have that many big episodes like that anyway, but I think, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, like, literally the biggest thing that's happened this week was probably AGDQ.
Yeah, basically. So
I think another big thing, not too big, but they released that book about Askewada. About,
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool thing that they did about the life of Iwata.
I'll have to check that out. That's cool.
English.
I'll definitely pick up a copy.
It is coming to English. Did you say that, Jack?
Yeah.
So, cool. Yeah,
wisdom from Iwata. You know what it is.
Awesome. To end that, you know, we have this episode should be releasing on our 1 year anniversary of the show. So I can't believe it's been a year.
What?
Yeah. When? I mean, we're way behind schedule of everything that we wanted to do, but it's been a year.
Remember when we thought we'd have 12 games done in a year?
Yeah, that was foolish of me. I try and be a realist of, hey, you know, you take that step and you take things in small increments and stuff, but like that was a bit much. We all have lives and shit. And it's been a weird year. But yeah, so with this, there should be another episode dropping today. Please check that out. It's an older episode that we weren't able to release prior just due to editing constraints and stuff like that.
Last episode.
Ooh. Kind of. But it's one of my favorite episodes we've ever recorded. It covers video game music. And I think there's a lot of good stuff in it. So please take a listen. As well as there's some new art, and we're starting our blog posts that we're going to start doing. So keep an eye out for that. Check our socials for the links to everything. That'll be dropping today. So with that, this has been Bill.
It's Ty.
And I'm Jack. And that was the Magazine Rack.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.